makes a big difference. Really does. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning once again. Lord, we already know you are here. God, we sense your presence. Lord, we ask that you would open up our ears right now as we hear from your word. And God, you would anoint my words that they would be from you. And God, that you would just be glorified. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, usually when I am asked to speak, I might be doing that from time to time. Whenever I'm asked to speak, I really love it when God gives me a word well in advance. I spoke last time on December 23rd is when we had the little jingles up here, and I knew a solid month that I was going to also be sharing after the kids sang and did their play that I would also be sharing. So I had a good month in advance. I also knew it was going to be a very tough act to follow, obviously. So what I'm always just listening and waiting to hear God's word, and I had my word early. I was waiting to say it. I couldn't wait, even if it wasn't on that day. And if you remember, I spoke about just how we serve the God of the process, and when we're in the middle of a trying time, he's not finished yet. You know, don't wait till he's done. Wait, just be patient and wait. And God turns things, and he's just not done. He's not done. And it's something that has spoken to Aaron and I over the last couple of years, and we've seen so much. And going into this week, also I knew for about 2 or 3 weeks that I would be sharing. I knew we're not going to be able to make it up to the couples retreat for the whole weekend. So when that happens, again, I kind of turn my ears up and I'm just listening. I'm waiting for a word from God, waiting for a fresh word. Okay, Lord, what is it? What is it you're going to want me to share on? Again, I like at least a week's notice would be nice. So I can mull it over and think about it. And, you know, honestly, 2 weeks ago, no, I'm not hearing much. And, you know, last week, Kate and I, we were at the Super Bowl. My goal is to work that in about 5 times. That's one check. And just things have been just busy and crazy, which happens in all of our lives, and I just haven't heard. It's my fault. I haven't taken really the time to stop and listen as much as I should and listen for that word of God. So then it's Monday, and we're back from the Super Bowl, which was awesome. It was an amazing weekend, that's two. I'm a little bummed. We were walking around about the third quarter getting Kate some food. I tripped over this power cord. Yeah. It felt awful. Half the lights out. Plugged it back in, kind of tiptoed back to our seats. So then we're back Monday. Then I'm back into school Tuesday, and it's just crazy. I'm doing sub plans, and I teach a combination class, and it's just a crazy time. I'm just not hearing it. Now I'm getting close to, you know, okay, I'm speaking Sunday. And then the kids were sick. They had gotten sick earlier in the week. And Lucy, especially, she had had a cold, no flu or anything, thankfully. And we were giving her medicine. And Lucy doesn't like to take medicine at all. And we really see her will pop out. I mean, at one point, we're literally, because she's got a little throat, we're giving her pure honey. And she is, no, adamant, just kicking and screaming. So it was late, I think it was Wednesday night, maybe Tuesday night, real late, and we needed to give her, she needed to take this medicine. She had a double ear infection, so she needed to take this antibiotic. It wasn't optional. So we had to give it to her, and I tasted it, and it was pretty bad stuff. So literally, had to hold her down. We had to hold Lucy down and put it in her mouth, and for a while she was spitting it out. And so here we are holding her down, giving her the medicine, and it dawns on me, and God says, there's your message right there. Right there, 10 o'clock at night, I think it was Tuesday night, God said, right here. Because that's us so often. We're Lucy in that analogy. And God has so many good things for us. Some even taste really good, like honey, but yet we kick and scream and we fight and we resist. And Lucy, this is going to help you. This is going to make that pain in your ears go away. The reason you're fighting so much is because you're cranky, and you're cranky because you're sick. This is going to take that away. Resist, resist, resist. So God gave me the word in the nick of time, Tuesday night, and just been mulling it over and thinking where I can go with it. So hopefully it'll speak to us. And I just think with flu season here and so many people getting sick, and I had just gotten over it myself. But step one is to admit that you're sick. And sometimes we don't do that. You know, I teach, and I see teachers just sneezing, and they're at the copy machine, and I'm like, go home, because now I'm going to get sick. You know, but we don't want to admit that we're sick. Oh, no, it's just a little sniffle. And it takes a big step sometimes to admit that we are sick. We all did it at least once, because that is a prerequisite to coming to the Lord, isn't it? We have to admit that we're sick. We have to admit that we are in need of a Savior, that we need to be saved. So we've done it. It's in us, and it's a contrite heart that the Lord loves, and that humility to say, I need help. I need medicine. I am sick. And again, we did it when we came to the Lord for the first time. But sometimes we think I've done that then, and now I don't need to do that again. But it's something that we continually need to do. We were at the retreat yesterday, and I was sharing with John Norton what I was going to share on, and he just threw this whole Martin Luther story at me real quick of where Martin Luther talks about this, of a sick man who goes to a physician, and the physician can't help him because he won't admit that he's sick. Martin Luther talks about this, that he won't admit that he needs help, and there's nothing he can really do. And again, we're all in different places. You know, we all sometimes, you know, we're in a place where things are great and you are walking in the Spirit and you are fruitful. But we go in these phases where we need some more. We need some help. Where sometimes we get dry, whatever it is. Aaron and I watch it now, American Idol. She doesn't really watch it too much anymore. I love that show. I really do. They just got over the early phases where it's just all the people coming in and just singing, and half of them are awful. Some of them are just goofing around. They just want to get on TV, and they wear these crazy things. And just to hear them say no, it's obvious that they really, I hope, that they are aware that they cannot sing. They're just getting on TV. But then there's these other people who really think they can sing. And they're absolutely shocked when the judges say, you're awful. I would kind of fall into that category myself. Ask Aaron, because sometimes I think I can sing. But they need to know that they can't sing. You know, they don't hear it. And equating that with being sick, you know, sometimes we don't know it. We think we're okay. We think we're fine. But no, you sound pretty bad. You know, we're in this bad place. I wanted to read or just tell the story of somebody like Lucy when she's resisting all that is good for her, which we do so often, of a story in the Bible of someone who resisted God, and that is from Jonah. I'm just going to read the beginning of it. Many of us know the story. Jonah, who did resist God. The word of the Lord, this is in Jonah 1, 1 Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Jonah ran away from the Lord. And, you know, this was a blatant disobedience in his life. God was blatantly telling him flat out, do this, and Jonah did the opposite. And then we know the story goes on. He gets on the boat. God sends a storm. They end up throwing Jonah overboard. The fish swallows Jonah. And finally, in the belly of that fish, Jonah cries out to God, and the fish spits him out, and Jonah repents and obeys God. How much better if we don't have to go through that process, if we could obey sooner than that, before we're in the belly of the fish. But God will, he'll bring us there if that's what it takes. So maybe it isn't a blatant disobedience like that, but it's little things. It could be just little things in our life that God is calling us to do. Little running away from the Lord. You know, whether it's he's asking you to spend time in his word more in the morning, we run away. You know, we harden our hearts. We just don't make the time for it. So it's just little things like that that it could be. Again, we guard ourselves against all that he has that could help us. So step one, again, is to realize I'm sick. I'm not where I need to be, not where I should be, not where I can be. There's more to this Christian life. There's got to be. I know there is. So step one is to admit that if we're in that place, to say, I'm sick, I need help. Step two is to realize that God has the cure. God is the cure for that. He has it. We have the medicine in our hand. Here it is, Lucy. It might not taste that good. The honey tastes pretty good. But take it. You need to take it. The Lord has the cure for us. I always, to prime the pump as I speak, I love reading A.W. Tozer. And one of the things he talks about is that there are three different categories of spiritual blessings that we have, that God has for us. The first would be ones that we get immediately the day we came to the Lord, the day we met Jesus. These are ours, these spiritual blessings. And they would be forgiveness of sins, justification. We are justified. It's as if we had never sinned, just as if I'd never sinned. The second we put our faith in Christ as Savior, we are justified. And that, it happens that moment. Romans 5, 1 through 2 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. So again, being justified by faith, the moment we come to faith in Christ, we get those. So that's the first group of spiritual blessings. The second group would be ones that we need to wait for. That would be heaven. You know, what else in heaven? A perfect body, moral and mental perfection. This perfection that we are going to attain on the other side when we get to heaven, when we get our new perfect bodies. It is absolutely pointless to pray for that right now. You can't pray, Lord, I want that perfection right now. You know, give me that right now. Or going back to the other one, Lord, I want to be justified again. It's not, you know, it's already done. It's a done deal. We don't need to keep accepting the Lord. It's that one time you've done it and put your faith that you've done it. And heaven, again, it's pointless to ask for these things. They are ours when we get there. We need to wait. We need to wait for those. So that's the second group, the spiritual blessings that God promises us when we meet him in the next world. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. So these are pretty great blessings. You know, heaven, I think as a church, I don't think we think about heaven enough. I really do. I think Hollywood has kind of tweaked it. We picture clouds and harps, and that's not heaven. That's not heaven. I think that's something that we've lost, to really set our hearts and minds on things above and what it's going to be like, to really meditate on that and think about that. So that's the second group. And then the third group of spiritual blessings that God has for us are ones that are ours, but we need to make an effort to go get them. He's not just going to give it to us. It's not just an injection. Okay, these are things that we need to put an effort out to go get. So these would be the flow of the Holy Spirit, fruitfulness, being aware of God's presence, being looking for God's presence and being hungry for that. Just this, the living water flowing through us, deliverance from sins of the flesh, walking in the Spirit. These are ones that the third group of spiritual blessings that are ours, but we need to go after them. So the question is, again, that could be kind of like the medicine. How bad do we want those? Do we want those? So I want to read from Deuteronomy chapter 1, 5 through 8. And it's after Israel has been wandering in the desert for 40 years. The Lord God spoke to us at Horeb, saying, "You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn and set your journey and go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all their neighbors in Arabah, in the hill country and in the lowland and in the Negev and by the seacoast, the land of the Canaanites and Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates. See, I have placed the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to them and their descendants after them." You have stayed long enough at this mountain, walking around in circles, just wandering around in circles. They were comfortable with that. They were used to that. They were okay with that. It was just this routine, and it just kind of lulls them to sleep, and it lulls us to sleep. It could be so easy that we could just be walking around in circles. We just get into our routine, which eventually can kind of get into a rut, and we're missing it. We're like the Israelites walking around in circles in the desert. The land, promised land, was right there. And God says to them, "Enough. You have stayed long enough at this mountain. I have placed the land before you. Go in and possess the land." That's that third group. You've wandered here long enough in this nominal, lukewarm, whatever we want to call it, sickness. Go get it. These are yours. These blessings are yours. Go get them. Go ask for them. Seek for them. Want them. Be hungry and thirsty for them. What these spiritual blessings, walking, knowing Him, walking in Him. I love the message, the version from the Message from Deuteronomy. It says, "Look, I've given you this land. Now go in and take it. It's a land God promised to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their children after them. Go in and take it." Or are we comfortable, content with the routine and just walking in circles? There's more. I believe there's more. The other thing is, and this is just a truth, and wherever we are in our life right now, wherever you are, we all have as much of God as we want right now, wherever you are. You have as much of God as you want. If you want more, He's there. He will bless you with more of Him, more of these blessings, these spiritual blessings. But we settle. We settle for this joyless life when there's so much more to be had for us. And again, I'm not speaking to everybody. Some people are walking in this, and they get it. They know. But I think we all have moments of this. We've either been there before, or would might hopefully not, but could be there again. So just to remember that there's more. But right now, wherever we are, we have as much of God as we want. And we know a good test as to see where we are in this. Am I in that routine? Am I walking around? Am I in that rut? Is when we meet someone who's not in that rut, in that routine. We meet someone who's walking in it. We meet someone who is just wide awake in the Lord and just feeling His Spirit. They're fruitful. They're in obedience. We know those people. I like to equate it to morning people. I don't know if I'm a morning person. I've kind of turned into a morning person lately. I don't like it when the alarm goes off. I love snooze button, you know. But when I'm up, I'm up. When I get out of that bed, I'm awake. It's by the time I'm hitting the stairs, for the most part, I am humming a tune. I'm awake at that point. Aaron's not a morning person. And that's okay. I mean, we are or we're not, you know. But if you're not a morning person, those morning people, when they're wide awake in the morning and you're just kind of waking up, you're not happy about it, they're not your favorite people. Back in my college days, I was not a morning person. I purposely did not schedule any classes before 11. By my senior year, I had that figured out. Because anything before 11, I'm not going. Or I'm rarely going. Okay, I still have this recurring dream, I'm way off here. If I wake up and I'm taking a final of a class that I went to on the first day of school, missed the entire semester, and now I have to take this final. And I didn't drop the class, and I just missed it. And then I wake up and I'm like, oh, I'm 42. It's done. Diploma's on the wall. I really do. I wake up relieved. No idea why I went there. Back in college, I remember getting up for football practice. And my roommate was a morning person. And again, at that point, I was not at all. He's up, hey, immediately. And the guy just irked me. You know, just calm down. So anyway, when we meet morning people, it's just, they just get that feeling in us. But it can be similar when we're not where we should be. We're not in a healthy place in the Lord, and we meet someone who is. It's like, oh, because it's just that conviction, like, I should be there. I've been there before. I should be there. God has been kind of saying for a long time, be here. Look, this is what you have. This is what you can be. He's healthy. I am a little sick. I guess I do have a little bit of a cold as I meet this person who's very healthy in the Lord. So that's a good test when you meet someone. How do they make you feel? Is it kind of like that morning person guy, like, oh, does it prompt something in you that there's more? There's more. I could be in a better place. And if that's where we are, just as God said to the Israelites, you've wandered long enough. These blessings are yours. Go in and take them. Go in and get them. So maybe we want to. Maybe we want to go in and take the land. We want these spiritual blessings, but okay, what does that look like? How? What does that look like? Well, back to the health analogy, we take our medicine. We take our medicine that I'm trying to give Lucy, that I'm having to force down her throat. And it looks different for different people. Sometimes it's just providing an environment that fosters spiritual health. Our life with Cade and fighting brain cancer, we have flipped our entire diets upside down. Our entire fridge looks very different than it did 2 years ago. And the freezer especially, because there's no longer 4 pints of Ben and Jerry's that were all mine, that I would eat a little bit here, they're gone. And I miss them. But we have changed it. It's not so much that we're taking these vitamins and stuff. We're just changing our environment. We're creating a more healthy environment that fosters health for our children and obviously for us. I can't say, Cade, you can't have that ice cream as I'm eating my chunky monkey Ben and Jerry's. No, not you, but I. So it's obviously changed our entire family. And it's just this environment of spiritual health. Does our environment allow spiritual health? You know, what are the things we're watching? What are the things we're listening to? What are, in our homes, does it allow for spiritual health, a place where God, we can hear God? Turning the TV off is a pretty day-changing decision, we discover. We kind of turned it off for Cade and Lucy. They were watching it a little bit too much. It's back on now, but we did turn it off for about 5 days, just almost like, you're watching too much, when we see a better attitude, we'll turn it back on, you can watch a little bit, and it's such a different day, it really is, it's a different day, so we are considerably lessening the amount of media intake that Cade is watching, and Lucy, and ourselves as well, kind of, no, we are, it's just providing that different place where we can hear God. If the TV is always on, you don't hear. Sometimes you just got to turn it off and get quiet. Just be quiet and just hear God's voice. And it's just such a different environment when the just simple as turning the TV off. And what we watch, the software controls the hardware, Charles Simpson says. When you buy a new computer and there's nothing on it, you load it up with software. The computer itself is nothing. It's just hardware. It's nothing. But what do you want it to do? Are you going to be an illustrator? Are you going to use it for graphic design? You put those things on it. You're going to do it for music? You put those programs on it. The software controls the hardware. Well, it's the same thing with us. The things we watch, the things we put into our bodies, our minds, our eyes, it controls us. It has a big impact on how we feel, where we're at, and how healthy we are. And that's just the fact. So if Kevin has shared, if the only time we're getting Bible is when it pops up there, but we're clocking in hours and hours of Bravo reality TV, Downton Abbey, because I just hear that everywhere. And it's not a bad show. But anyway, you know, what are we putting in our minds? What are we watching? What are we listening to? It affects us. The software controls the hardware. So provide a healthy environment for spiritual health in our homes, in our lives, in our cars, wherever it is. And then God has also given us just flat out medicine for us to take. We call them means of grace, ways that things that he has given us that we can do to help foster this walking in a fruitful place. But it takes discipline to do that. It's the spiritual disciplines that he has given us. A disciple, the word disciple comes from the word discipline. And discipline is when we're doing something we don't necessarily want to do. It takes discipline. My students, I teach 5th and 6th grade, and there's instrumental once a week. And they have violins, and some have recorders. And it takes practice for them to do well. And quite often, I'll see violins left in the back of the room all week. You know, they just leave it there, and then when it's music time again the next week, they pick it up and they go back to music. So what's happened in between? Nothing. They haven't practiced at all. It's just sitting in the back of the room. So it takes discipline to improve. I love the story of a boy who is taking piano lessons. His mom's saying, you're going to take piano lessons. So he's sitting there and he's taking his lessons. And meanwhile, all his buddies are out in front playing. He's looking out the window. He wishes he could be out there playing with them. But here he goes. He's playing, he's doing his scales. And then an angel comes and whisks him away and takes him to Carnegie Hall, where he's standing there on this, and he sees this stage with this man on the stage just playing this piano, concert pianist, just playing beautifully. And the kid's just in awe of how awesome this kid is, this guy, this man is. Angel whisks him back to his room and says, Billy, I'll just say Billy, that man you saw is you. In a few years from now. And then he points to the piano and he says, but you must practice. You must practice. That kid's practice time is going to be a little different now. Because he has a vision. He knows what he's going to be. Now all of a sudden, he's practicing. And he's practicing with momentum and passion. Because he sees where he's going. Well, it's the same with us. Do we see where we're going? Do we see who God is creating in us? Romans 8:29. Says for it's not up there, I'll just read it. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. That's where we're headed, to be conformed to the image of Christ. And that's why we do these things. That's why these disciplines he's given us. So, okay, I got my email telling me I have to read these 3 chapters because I'm going through the Bible in a year, and it becomes... There's this phrase, discipline without direction is drudgery. Discipline without direction is drudgery. So if we don't have that purpose, if we don't see the vision where God is taking us, it's not very fun. We're not passionate about it. But if we know where he's taking us, if we see ourselves playing that piano, we're going to read differently. We're going to go about these spiritual disciplines a little bit different. And in 1 Timothy 4:7, he says, Paul says, but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. It requires discipline. As you know, football season just ended because we were at the Super Bowl last week. So you have to ask yourself, what is Aaron Rodgers doing right now? Is he at, football's done, he's resting. He's quarterback for the Packers. Is he eating Big Macs and just kind of relaxing? No. He is. He's thinking next year. They're not happy losing to the 49ers in the playoffs. They were supposed to go. They were supposed to win this thing. Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And they lost. What is Aaron Rodgers doing right now? He's working out. He is focused. He is in discipline and doing what he needs to do because he sees where he's going. And that's what it takes, discipline. And what is the reason? Our purpose is godliness. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And here are some things. I'll go quickly through them. Some things that we can do. Obviously, I've already talked about fostering an environment that allows spiritual health. And then here are some other means of grace that God has given us. Reading the Bible. Scripture reading. 1 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. In the Message, it says, through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the task God has for us. Same verse from the Message. Again, I'm reminded of Lucy kicking and screaming when I'm holding the medicine. And sometimes we kick and scream when Bill or Kevin up here and they mention, okay, we're starting the year again. Here's three chapters a day. It's right in our bulletin. And are we like Lucy? We're kicking and screaming and we fight it. Or we just do a little bit of it. It's this battle. And it's medicine. Do we realize what it is? Of how it's a means of grace. God is going to use that to change our hearts. It's God's thoughts. I love calling God's word his thoughts. And when we're reading God's word, we're reading God's thoughts. Just reading it. There's time for meditation, for stopping on a verse and letting it sink in. There's time for serious Bible study. And then there's time just for reading it. Just read through it. And you're getting God's thoughts through your head. Because if we're getting the world's thoughts all day, that's thrown at us everywhere. Everywhere. Just the world's thoughts. Okay, our fleshly thoughts. We need God's thoughts in there. That's the software again. Software controls the hardware. So, reading his word. Obviously, prayer. Praying. Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer. Keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Devote yourselves to prayer. 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray without ceasing. And Jesus said, when they asked him, teach us to pray, what did he say? He said, when you pray. He didn't say if you pray. He says, when you pray. It's expected. You know, that's just a given. Of course we're going to pray. We would want to pray. And when we've been away, for me personally, if I've gone a long time without really getting with God and touching him and feeling his presence, and he meets me there, it's like, what have I been doing? If you've ever felt that, but what was I thinking? How did I forget how great this is? You know, we forget. I think most of the things that we do up here, the sermons, they're just reminders of there's I'm not saying anything new here. You've heard all this, just reminders. We forget. We're forgetful people. And we forget how good honey tastes, you know? It tastes really good. I've had some in the last couple of days. It's good stuff. And when we're on our knees and we're really meeting him, what have I been doing? How have I been settling for that? I've been living like this. Why have I been settling for that? When this joy and this peace and God's presence is waiting for me, just go in and take it. He's the same God. He doesn't change. These are spiritual blessings that are ours, that he promises us. But we settle. We settle for this mediocre life. Just kind of going through the motions, and there's so much more. Other things he's given us, worship, serving, fasting. Again, Jesus says, when you fast. Fasting's when it's not my favorite thing. It's when there's a fast. But again, God meets me when I do it. You know, when we deny ourselves our food. If God's got your belly, he's got you, at least me. He's got me. And in those times when you pray, when you're fasting, denying yourself, he meets us there. So these are some means of grace that he has provided. His word, praying, being here, fellowship. This is a means of grace. I'm so glad that I think this is pretty good. Like I knew all the couples retreat's going to come in and it's going to be real low. I think I'm pretty impressed with the turnout here. Give yourself a round of applause, guys. It's awesome. But you heard I was speaking, so. Just kidding. John went to the Super Bowl last weekend. Is that five? Four. So it can be very easy to spend a lot of our time saying no to things. You know, we are walking this life, we're trying to obey, and we say no to this, to things that we don't want to do anymore. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to do that. There's more power. Instead of saying no to something, just say yes to Him. Just say yes to God. Say yes to, I'm going to pray. I don't know this temptation or whatever it is. I'm just going to say yes to God. I'm going to pray and see what happens. And He changes our hearts. There's more power in saying yes to God than there is in saying no to whatever it is that we're struggling with. There's more power in that. And then lastly, what it takes, or what it would have taken, to get that medicine in for Lucy is her just to give up, to surrender and say, all right, let me have it. Because it's the complete opposite. Kate, as you know, has had some surgeries, and anyone that's had a surgery, what's the first thing they need to do is need to be sedated. Anytime Cade has an MRI, he needs to be unconscious just because he's in this giant machine, and he wouldn't surrender. He would kick and scream. Imagine if you're getting surgery and you're awake. You're going to want to control. You're going to grab the doctor's hand, and it doesn't work. We need to be out cold. We need to be unconscious. So there comes to that surrender in our life where we just say, all right, I give up. Let me have the medicine. Let me, whatever it is, Lord, that you want. And it's one of my favorite words, surrender. Just give up. Give up yourself, these little things that you're toying with, these things that you're holding on to in your life. Just give them up and give them to God and watch what He'll do. I love the analogy of keys. We have tons of keys on our key ring, and this one opens this door, this one opens this one opens that. And we give God keys. You can have this key, you can have that key, you can have that key, but you can't have this key. This one I'm holding on to. This one you can't have either. But He wants that master key. He wants the key to all the rooms. And we need to give that to Him. Otherwise, it's just halfway, and it's no good. He wants it all. He's the master of the house. And perhaps, again, we've talked about being in the routine and this other higher way to live. And again, maybe we are content in the routine. Maybe we're not hungry. Maybe we're not that thirsty. And that's just where we are. You know, I hear what you're saying, but I'm just not there. The prayer could be, Lord, make me hungry. Lord, make me thirsty. You know I should be there, but I'm not, and I'm kind of okay with it. Lord, change that. Lord, make me hungry. Don't let me be content here when I can be here. Lord, don't give me peace in this routine. I don't want to be at peace in the desert when the promised land is right there. Matthew 7:7, if we're in that place, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So that third group of spiritual blessings, they're ours. But again, we need to go get them. We need to ask for them, seek for them, knock. God hears that. Those are the good things that we're asking for. Lord, let me know your presence. Let me feel your presence each day. Let me walk in your spirit. Let me obey. Let me have fruit in my life. Let me be like that morning person. Lord, I know there's more. I should be in a better place. Help me to get there. And then Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So there's medicine for us if we're sick, when we're sick, because we all get sick. We've been sick. We're going to get sick again. There's medicine for us. Let's not be resisting and kicking and screaming when there's so many things that He has for us to help us, to meet us, to help us walk in that place where deep down we know we can be, should be, that promised land. Don't be content in the desert. And I'm speaking to myself. You know, this is, whenever I speak, I usually speak a sermon that I need to hear. You know, I do. And if there's a couple of you out there that need to hear it too, awesome. But that's usually how it works. You know, it's something that speaks to me that I need to hear. So there's more. there's more for us. Just we need to go get it. Go in and take it. It's ours. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us, Lord. God, we thank you for, Lord, the blessings that we have spoken about today. Lord, we thank you for that we are justified freely. Lord, that's a done deal. God, if we doubt that, if we go in and out of that part of wondering if we're saved, Lord, help us to look to the cross, to know that you have paid for us and we are justified. We are set in the heavenlies, Lord. We are forgiven of our sins, Lord. And Lord, we thank you in advance for the place that you are preparing before us in heaven, Lord, that you go ahead of us to prepare a place. We thank you for that, Lord, and we eagerly wait for that. Lord, help us to eagerly await that even more. Help us to think more about heaven. God, to be more heavenly minded, spiritually heavenly minded, Lord. To really think about that and watch how it changes our perspective on this world. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you have given us here for our day-to-day walk. Lord, as we live down here on this earth. Lord, as we still have sin, Lord, and struggles, and we battle against the world, we battle against the flesh, we battle against Satan, and it can be so easy to get sick. But Lord, you have provided us, Lord. You have provided these means of grace. And Lord, most importantly, your Spirit, Lord, your Spirit living within us. Lord, that's who we need. We need more of you in our hearts. God, help us to be hungry for that, to not settle for anything less than the joy that we should have, that maybe we've had a long time ago, Lord, that we want again. Maybe we have forgotten it, and we've come to this routine and settled. Lord, help us to get up from that place and not be content, but go in and take it. Go in and take the promise that you have given us, Lord. Your Spirit, your blessings, Lord, walking with you, a fruitful life, feeling your presence, feeling your Spirit flow through us. Lord, that's what you offer to every one of us, not the good Christians, every one of us, Lord, the least of us, that's for us. God, help us to be content with nothing less than that. And Lord, we just ask that you would be glorified in what we do and that you would change us, that you would make us better when we're in those places of sickness, that you would make us healthier. Help us provide a healthy environment in our home, spiritual environment in our home, and the things that we put in our minds and eyes, Lord, that it would glorify you, Lord, that it would glorify you. And we do ask for safety for everyone coming back today, and we thank you for the people that are here right now, and we just pray that you are continually glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name.